She's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I think that many of the protests are just directed generically.
Why are we against Taliban? Why are we against Afghanistan? Who's Taliban? If Taliban wants to make a religious...
You can go forward and allow 60% of the insurance companies not to provide basic maternity care.
That's pretty gay. You know how many people like guns and dip?
Yeah, Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a radio show where truth is our bitch. I mean, we don't, we'll throw anybody under the bus on this show so long as they deserve it. They'll get tossed under the bus. We're not adherence to any ideology around here. We want people to know what is actually happening, and anybody that's covering up what's actually happening so they can protect a political point of view, they should only get run over by the big bus. You know, the big, long yellow bus, not the short one.
They belong in a short bus, though.
Yeah, whatever you say there, bud. Bud Dickman with me, and Robert Leonard as well. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show every night here on the El Pacifico. We lay it on you as best as we can, even though there's a whole lot of static out there. And I got a interesting message. I always get interesting messages after I got off, after I get off the air. And
you said after you got off.
I'm going to belt you, you know that?
You said it.
I got an interesting message after I got off the air.
I know what he said. Yeah, but he said after you got off.
You want me to hit you? Because I will, man. It's worth it to me.
No.
After I got off the air, I get these messages from people, and like I told you this guy last night, he says, now, you know, what are you trying to prove? Nobody can be non-ideologic. No one can not have an ideologic. You got to be either one or the other. You can't do that. And everybody knows, and everybody knows, and everybody knows. And I always recognize right off the bat a defensive reflex when I see one. I recognize that I have pissed somebody off, and generally that's not a bad thing. Not always, but generally that's not a bad thing, because what I've done is I've rocked their comfortable little world where everything was just so neat and tidy and ordered, and they could get out of bed in the morning and say, they're the bad guys and we're on the good guy's side, and let's march forward now in this never-ending battle against the bad guys, whatever they are. And on our radio show, as we pointed out last night and we'll continue to point out, there's no bad guys or good guys, and I ain't giving a speech here at a convention saying we're all Americans and ain't we just all in love. I'm saying that the way things work in this country, it doesn't do any good to start choosing sides, because one side or the other, sooner or later, you're going to need them. Sooner or later, you're going to need those conservatives, because they've got a pretty good way of trimming the fat and pulling in the expenses and letting the free market reign when we need to let the free market reign. The problem with conservatives is that when you don't need to let the free market just do its thing, that's when they're screaming the loudest, it seems. And the problem with progressives or liberals is that when we don't need the government into every little thing that we're doing, that's when those cats are chomping at the bit, ready to rock and roll. Hey, we're flush now, man. We can really... This is, you know, God rest his soul, this is the biggest mistake that Lyndon Johnson ever made, taking what was a very, very... enhanced and wealthy country at the time in the 1960s, America, even though we were beginning to fight a war in Vietnam. And he said, you know, we got all this bread. Let's go out and solve all these problems. One of them is poverty. And another one is the life condition of single mother families. And there's the medical aid. And there was a whole lot of things that he wanted to roll out and take care of. And it wasn't a bad idea. The only bad idea was that he wanted to do it all at once. And it had to be all perfect, and we had to create some kind of utopia out of it. And by God, it would solve these problems, because money solves problems. Well, money gives you the opportunity to solve problems. It don't solve problems. So that's what this show is about.
Not solving problems.
Exactly, not solving problems. All right. We have a news update for you here. This is breaking news from Garden City, New York. You remember last week we covered a story that we found fascinating. And I'm sure you did, too. This was the story of a Hofstra student a young woman who claimed that she had been gang raped in a dormitory bathroom. She was a freshman, and it turned out that there was nothing to the story. Here's one of the men who was arrested and eventually released. His name was released, as were the names of the other four men arrested. A fifth was being sought when she finally recanted her story 3 days later after making these charges. This young man talks about having been charged with rape when he knew that had not happened.
It was like a big nightmare, and I thought I was going to do time for something I didn't do. I was going to be punished for something that I did not do.
And did you get this feeling kind of horror, like I'm living a nightmare, but my eyes are open?
No,
yes,
he didn't.
It was a nightmare that you can't wake up from, you know. It was devastating, and I was there just letting the clock tick and tick.
And then she said,
I think that's pretty gay.
All right, so what is the update? Here's the update. The prosecutor, District Attorney Kathleen Rice of Nassau County, last Friday said the freshman, and they have now named this young woman. They didn't name her because it is customary not to name the alleged victims in any rape investigation. You do name suspects because when you book them and you put them in a cell and you give them a mugshot and you do all those things you do to process a prisoner, those names become available to the press. If you're not arrested, if you are still a free person and you're making these charges, when it comes to rape, they don't release names. Well, now the prosecutor has decided not to file criminal charges, obviously, against the four young men because it didn't happen. This prosecutor has also, though, decided not to file criminal charges against the Hofstra University freshman who falsely said she was gang raped. Her name is Danmel Nidonye. Kathleen Rice of Nassau County, New York, said on Friday that the freshman must undergo mental health treatment and community service in exchange for not being prosecuted. Ms. Nidonye, previously described by the prosecutor as a deeply troubled woman, had claimed she was attacked after a dance party at a Long Island nightclub. Four men were arrested, a fifth was being sought. She recanted her story, and these guys were released. The turning point of the case came when the woman was confronted with a videotape of the encounter. She had said she'd been gang raped, but when they watched this videotape, that ain't what was happening on the tape. She had a smile on her face through the whole thing. That'll give you a hint as to what was going on the tape. The four men in custody were released 2 hours after the woman changed her story. And the prosecutor has said, I'm not going to prosecute this young woman. I'm going to have her, I'm going to have a court order or take her before a judge and have her, however they do these things, have her told by the court that she must submit to a mental health evaluation. Sounds pretty fair to me. Although those four cats who had their names drugged through the mud for, I don't know, whatever it was, you know, a few hours, maybe a full day last week, maybe they feel different about it. And, you know, I'd be pissed off, I'll tell you that.
What would you want to have her do?
What would I want that woman?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you were the guy.
Yeah, see, that puts a whole new spin on if you're the guy. Because if you're the guy, man, yo, you want payback. I can't say if I was the guy. I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed off, yeah.
Yeah, what do you want to do? Would you want to hit her?
Well, yeah, I probably would want to hit her, yeah.
And would you want to rape her?
You shut up and get out of here. Would I want to rape her? That's fantastic, man. I guess she'd have her case then, huh, bud?
These are questions that need to be asked.
Get out of here. I'd be pissed, yeah. I'd be probably angry enough to want to haul off and smack her. You know, I there's a philosophy that we have on this show. We have articulated it from time to time, but I don't like to overdo it because there are just enough people out there who ain't all that bright who are going to think, oh, wow, man, listen to the reasoning Phil's using. That sounds pretty solid. I think I'll do that myself. A lot of guys that say things like,
you know how many people like guns and dip?
But I think if a woman does something so outrageous like this, well, I can't say. I'd want to smack her, and I can tell you this, if somebody smacked her, I would not necessarily feel bad for her. Now, I know that that's wrong, and, you know, if she's mentally ill, maybe this is the wrong example. If she's mentally ill, maybe she's the wrong example, but you know what I'm saying. And we've had news story after news story after news story where females have done something so outrageous and have so devastated somebody by their actions that you are compelled to say, you know, the right time and the right place comes along. I think that that is one of those instances where you go ahead and you just ball up a fist and boom, you know.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Sonny. Hey, it happens. Bud's quote, was that the Hell's Angels book?
Yeah.
Bud's quote in Hell's Angels book by Hunter Thompson, where one of the angels smacked his old lady, and Hunter Thompson called the guy a punk, and Sonny Barger in his book said, well, you know, the guy smacked his wife, you're right, but hey, it happens. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be back with a story that is, it's going to take, you know, how we were doing Most Evil with Dr. Stone? Well, it ain't evil, and it's nothing as outrageously unjust as this Hofstra thing, but it's way out there anyway, man. It's on the edge. And yet, at the end of the story, I think you'll agree with me that while it's weird and it's kind of kooky and it's kind of, you know, goofy, ain't nothing wrong with it, really. You'll find out what we're talking about here in a minute. And also, lawmakers attack federal research on male-to-female sex workers and dragon-boating cancer survivors. What is that, dragon-boating cancer survivors? I don't know what that is. You will find out what it is, even though I probably still won't know what it is after I tell you. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
I think that's pretty gay.
Yeah, you know, I just thought of a really good question. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And I know I got a lot of people listening to the show who voted in the presidential elections, and I'm addressing myself just to those who voted for President Obama. Well, this equally applies. This equally applies to either President Obama or John McCain. And I'm serious because there's a reason why I'm asking this question. And I would love for people to answer this question. I don't know if anybody will. If the day before you went to the polls to vote for either Obama or McCain, no matter who you support, and photographs were released of either Obama or McCain relaxing in private, dressed in panties and a bra, wearing a wig, wearing lipstick, high heels, smiling for the camera, posing seductively, dressed like a woman, would you still vote for those guys? Okay? Now, I like you to, maybe we'll get people to call. I don't know. That's you know.
I think you're asking a lot, because people think they're queer if they vote for a guy that's queer.
These guys aren't queer. That's the point. What do you think I've been trying to tell you, man?
Don't you listen to him, man? How can you say a guy's not queer? He does that.
Some cats are straight and they like to dress in women's clothing. But even if they were gay, man, then the only issue would be, why didn't they come out and say they were gay? Why did they hide their sexual orientation? Because that's politically a pretty important thing in these times we live in. Otherwise, it's going to come out when a guy gets elected, then you got a scandal, regardless of whether it's legal or not. Well, we got this story, and when you first see this guy's pictures, you're going to retch. I mean, with all due respect, Your Honor, Mayor Eric Brewer of East Cleveland, if this is you, dude, you don't look too good dressed like a woman. I mean, it's pretty scary looking. Anyway, these are alleged to be photographs, and we have the link posted at Twitter on our profile page. So if you want to go to twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, and click on the link, and you're going to see the pictures of this mayor. It's pretty scary. But I ain't talking about that, see, because, you know, I could waste a whole lot of time, man, doing a morning zoo here and cracking all kinds of wise jokes about this guy's ass and how weird he looks in a wig, and although his ass isn't bad.
Oh, wow, man, now people think you're queer.
I'm joking around. Anyway, this guy, Mayor Eric Brewer, blasted a local television station on Thursday, one day after it aired photographs that purported to show the mayor wearing a wig and lingerie in provocative poses. The news conference came less than a week before voters decided if he should be reelected. So the timing is pretty brutal, isn't it? The TV station in question is WKYC Channel 3, I want to find out what their affiliation is, if you wouldn't mind, Rance or Bud, one of you two guys. What are they? You know, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, what are they? The news conference came less than a week before voters decided if he should be reelected. Now, he is having a news conference. He's pissed off. He refused to say and would not deny if the person in the photographs was, in fact, him. But he criticized WKYC Channel 3, saying the station aired the story Wednesday without contacting him for comment. He demanded the station reveal how it obtained the photos. He accused Brewer accused his mayoral opponent, City Councilman President Gary Norton, and members of the police department of circulating copies of the photos. He believes police got involved because he fired multiple officers for misconduct during his first term. Brewer and Norton face off in a Democratic primary election on Tuesday because they are the only two candidates. The winner of the election faces no opposition in the November general election and will be the next East Cleveland mayor. Norton denied circulating the pictures and doesn't think anyone involved with his campaign did it either. Now, I want to hear what this Norton guy says. Because I don't, you know, this dude Brewer isn't squeaky clean. The cat likes to dress as a lady. Not a problem, man, but here's a news flash for you. You hide that, and it comes out, and this is what happens. You can't be running for public office in the United States of America, because this is not the America of the 50s and 60s anymore. You know, J. Edgar Hoover, who everybody now realizes was gay, he had a long-standing relationship with a guy named Clyde Colson, who was an agent with the FBI. They went everywhere together. They vacationed together. They hung out together. And they were lovers. J. Edgar Hoover, the number one cop in America, the number one commie fighter in America. The guy that got down and dirty there with, you know, all those, you know, and also very politically a troubled man, if you ask me. Because he started wiretapping Martin Luther King. Let me tell you, I don't want to be in the shoes of those guys. The times were very strange. If they thought there were commies afoot, I guess they felt they had to do something. And that's what they did. They wiretapped Martin Luther King, thought the commies were sending him money. Had a hassle with the Kennedys. And then it comes out after he died that he was a cross-dresser at parties, that J. Edgar Hoover liked to get into lingerie and all this jazz. I don't know. And I remember using it on a show because politically I was opposed to J. Edgar Hoover. I thought that he was the fomenter of quasi-police state tactics and invaded illegally the privacy of a lot of Americans. So but more to the point, the guy's hypocrisy as a conservative. And then in his private life, being not only gay, but a cross-dresser, I thought it was too juicy to ignore. But you know something? As I've gotten older, I feel kind of lousy about that because that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Yeah, I understand that the guy shouldn't have been so morally indignant about the activities of J. Edgar Hoover and denouncing aberrant sexual behavior when he himself was a gay man at a time when being gay, being a homosexual, was illegal in a lot of places. But you know what? He was probably scared to death like most gay people were. You find out I'm gay, that's it. That's the end of my life. Now we have the year 2009, and we know a little bit more. We're not as stupid as we used to be, although, you know, we ain't all that much brighter, but we're a little smarter in some things. And I got this guy in East Cleveland. This guy dresses like a chick. Now, you can use this argument. You can say this. Well, you just said it, Phil. You said, if you're going to run for public office, you should be smarter. Yeah, I know, and I wish I hadn't said it, because now I've given everybody an argument, and they don't have to think for themselves. Here is the mayor, and he speaks out about the controversy at a press conference today.
I apologize to the residents of East Cleveland for the embarrassment my opponents gutter campaign tactics have caused our city. We have gone through so much over the years, and I have prided myself on keeping us out of the news. While I am not and will not authenticate any of the pictures, since it appears as if they and the email my opponent has caused to be distributed are personal in nature, the fact is they are embarrassing to our city.
Now, what happened was after this statement, supporters of the mayor and detractors began arguing with each other about Brewer's effectiveness as a mayor. The former mayor of East Cleveland, Saratha Goggins, whom Brewer defeated 4 years ago, she pulled up to the parking lot and joined the fracas. She, too, said she knew of these pictures. Well, is it a big deal or is it not a big deal? We'll find out here. Our number 877. We'll find out. We'll talk about it. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, my dress.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, today, the President of the United States was talking about Iran and a nuclear plant that is a uranium-enriching plant. I'm not completely, you know, familiar with how those things work, and I really don't know the work of inspectors and people who are in the know on when one determines that you know, uranium has been weaponized as opposed to enhanced to be used for peaceful purposes. But it seems, and it is the opinion of the world's leaders, that the Iranians have reached that level with this particular plant, and the president is talking about this, and a lot of big things going on, you know, a lot of big things going on. And we don't need to be talking about a lot of chicken crap having to do with Gitmo or whether or not, you know, Bush's lawyers were smarter than Obama's lawyers, or Obama's lawyers know the Constitution better than Bush's lawyers, and Bush's lawyers, they don't know the law as good as Obama's lawyers. And when we talk about Iran, it puts everything into perfect relief. Suddenly, George Bush looks smarter and smarter. Smarter and smarter and smarter. I got a prediction to make, and then we're going to get back to the cross-dressing East Cleveland mayor, the caper of the cross-dressing East Cleveland mayor, coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think that's pretty gay.
And first, we're going to tell you that, you know, the prediction is thus. It'll be about 10 years, because people, they don't like to look stupid. They got to find a place to hide first, you know, and then you can let the news... You can let the news travel far and wide to the highest hilltops and the lowest valleys that, guess what, maybe Bush wasn't as clueless as everybody said he was. Everybody was convinced he was. Everybody was self-righteously beating their chest about how he's so clueless and how he was so criminal. Guess what? Maybe he did leave the country in terms of security better off than he found it. Maybe he did give Barack Obama a couple of ideas on how to proceed against these Iranians. Maybe they ain't all so childlike and young and beautiful and sweet and peace-loving like that Code Pink bitch was talking about. You know, maybe we got ourselves a tiger by the tail here, man, and it's time to kick some ass. What do you think? All right, well, let's get... I don't even want to talk about that because... Let me just tell you one thing before we do this. When a president of the United States says that the military option is on the table, do you know what that means? It means that right now in the Pentagon, they're drawing up plans, if they haven't already. Now, people may think, oh, it's just a exercise in hyperbole. He doesn't. No. Guy called me smug the other day because I claim that I understand this president probably better than anybody else that supports him. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, literally, but I think that I'm in the top 3 or 4% of people that supported Obama as to understanding him. And I'm telling you right now, and I've never been wrong about this guy. When I listen to that guy say that there's a military option on the table, he's serious. Obama doesn't say that stuff because he doesn't quite understand what it involves, or he thinks talking like a badass is going to get him a long way with these Iranians, which you know it doesn't. Or he thinks that, well, they'll forget he said it, and it sounds really cool for that moment. There's a lot of people that think that. There's a lot of people that don't like Obama, and they're saying right now, oh, he doesn't mean that. He's saying that for the press. He's saying that just to get a little political support from Republicans. Everybody that thinks that way, all I can tell you is put down the 9/11 truth book, put down who shot JFK, Get your nose out of the, you know, the latest circular from the Alex Jones radio show and join the rest of the real people here on planet Earth. Just take a look at what's happening, listen to it, and respond to it. All right. 877-876-PHIL is our number. East Cleveland, Ohio, Mayor Eric Brewer was pissed off when he met the media today. He said that his opponents released photographs showing a cross-dressing man timing it a week before an election runoff between Mayor Brewer and an opponent of his, a city councilman, a city council president by the name of Gary Norton. The mayor says that his political opponents released these photos. The mayor did not say it was him. The mayor didn't make any claim that it was him. The mayor didn't make any comment at all. He just said about the truthfulness of whether these were pictures of him. But I think you can draw a pretty safe conclusion by avoiding the subject of confirming or denying. He's pretty much saying, yeah, that's me. And if you look at the photographs, we have the link at twitter.com/realphilhenry. Man, he ugly.
Oh, yeah, this guy fell off an ugly tree. He didn't hit any branches. He just hit the pavement.
Yeah, he hit the ugly pavement. What the hell is the ugly pavement? That's when you don't hit the branches?
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty scary looking. Now, here is the second part of this. We'll take your phone calls because the bigger question here, I don't give a damn whether this guy dresses like a chick or not. You know what? It's not illegal. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are a sexual deviant. It doesn't mean you're violent. It doesn't mean that you are suffering from a mental illness. It doesn't mean any of that. It is a choice. Now, that's a choice, see? That's a lifestyle choice. That's a guy. That's a straight guy. And there are a lot of straight men that dress like women who says, I'm going to dress like a chick. Does he look like a clown? Yes. Does he look weird? You bet. I got to get my head out of all of that stuff, and I got to ask myself, is this guy still a good mayor or not? So I asked the question, well, would you vote for Barack? Would you vote for John McCain if he was dressed like a chick? Forget about that stupid broad that put out that picture of McCain with fangs and red paint, which was the most unbelievably sloppy and ham-fisted piece of parody I'd ever seen in my life. Forget about that. What if instead real pictures of McCain came out on the eve of the election showing him in a what the hell are you dressed as?
Look at that, man. He's got on a dress.
What the hell are you doing?
How do I look in my high heels?
Hit him.
You sure? He can't hit me. He's a black man.
Hit him.
Ow!
Now get him out of here.
Man, you look like a weirdo. My high heels broke.
Bud came in here in a sundress. So the final point here is this. So if on the eve of the election, a picture comes out of McCain in high heels and stockings with a garter belt and panties, in other words, the way you'd like your girlfriend or your wife to dress, and they stopped doing it, say, about 5 years ago, that's what I'm talking about. Or Obama in a wig, looking all hot. Anyway, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Here's the second part of the mayor's, and then we'll get to your phone calls here. The second part of the mayor's press conference. A reporter with 19 Action News in Cleveland details some of these pictures. This is not the TV station that released them. This is a different TV station.
Well, there's about 40 pictures, and some have the man in the pictures just like a woman, as you can see. The wig on, earrings, makeup. Some also have them, the ones that we're not going to show you right now, have the man in the pictures in some very graphic sexual poses. Others, Tiffany, I'm telling you, I would not even want to show my mother. That's how bad they are now.
Hey, Mr. Reporter.
Did you really write this yourself with a typewriter?
Let's go to a phone call now, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. You can take a look at the live streaming video each and every night there, as we are streaming video right now. Here is Shannon in San Antonio. Shannon, what's going on tonight?
Hi, Phil. Not too much.
How you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing well, thank you. I just to say that as much as I want to say that I would not vote for them, I most likely would. If I was going to the poll and I already had in mind the candidate that I was voting for, they would remain the candidate that I would vote for.
Now, you're a woman, and you guys are completely different on all this stuff. You got to... What do you think about a guy that dresses like a woman, you know, a straight guy? You remember, did you see that movie, Ed Wood?
Actually, no, because let me tell you, so I don't condone it. I don't agree with it. It is not the
you don't condone. So you think there's something wrong with a guy who relaxes dressing like a woman?
I do. I personally take issue with that. However, I also know that we all are little hypocrites in our own way, and I don't think that it would have anything to do with how an individual could run a city.
We all got some weird behavior in our background, huh?
Right, and what people do in the dark, which everybody does, we don't want to come to light. But when it does, you know, everybody throws the red flag up. But no, I don't think it would affect how an individual would govern in any way.
All right, okay. Well, that's kind of cool. It's an interesting point of view, and I thank you for it, Shannon. Insofar as you said, I still think it's kind of, you know, it's like it's wrong. I think that's what she was saying. I'm just trying to be fair, you know, and this is the kind of thing people are going to laugh their ass off at. And after they're done laughing, then it's almost like understood. Oh, well, the guy can't be mayor. He's done. He's done now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's done now. What do you mean? He's dressed like a chick. Well, I know, but I mean, how does that mean he's going to be a bad mayor? Are you kidding me, man? We can't back this guy now. He dressed in a garter belt and a brassiere and panties. And no way, no way, no way, man. Do you think he'll be a bad mayor? It'll be a distraction. Aha! You came out with the million-dollar phrase, didn't you? I had to, man. You're asking me a question I can't answer. You can't answer my question, will he be a good or a bad mayor? No. So you come out with the phrase, it'll be a distraction. That's the fallback position, man. That's the one that always wins. It'll be a distraction. It'll be a distraction. It's going to be a distraction. And you're going to make sure it's a distraction, won't you? Yeah, I'll just keep saying it over and over and over again until the guy quits. I don't know. You know, but the way I think, you know, and the way that this show works is the following. All right, so the cat, they kick his ass out because he dresses in panties and women's, girdle or whatever he wears. They kick his ass out. Maybe he's a lousy mayor. I don't know. But let's say this guy might, you know, was on his way to becoming the greatest mayor East Cleveland ever had. Maybe this guy had all kinds of solutions to all kinds of problems. I don't know. But hell, if I know that, like, dressing this way is not necessarily a mental illness, I don't know why I'm going to get hung up about this stuff, you know. Here is Dow in San Antonio. Dow, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's happening tonight, Dow?
Yes, sir. How you doing? It's an honor. I just started listening to your show. It's an honor to talk to you, sir.
Thank you. Nice of you to call.
I wouldn't vote for a guy like that.
Yeah? What if you saw Obama in a just kind of a flimsy burnous and a feathered boa?
No,
in a photograph.
No, I wouldn't vote.
You would not have voted. Like you would not have voted for Obama then, huh?
It's about.
And what do you think? Yeah.
It's about your presentation. You know, he's. I don't know the exact numbers on Obama, like being married, but I'm sure it's like close to 20 or over 20. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he comes out dressed, you know, like a girl. You know, come on. I mean, if you can't stand for yourself, how can you stand for our country?
Well, you know, there's something to be said. When you say, meaning if he hides this behavior, it shows that he doesn't have all the courage that you want a president to have.
Exactly. I mean, if you can't stand up, believe in yourself, or if you can't believe in yourself and hide something, how are you going to run a country that, I mean, every day?
Let me ask you this, Dow, because that's a very good point you're making. So let me ask you this. What if at the beginning of his campaign, Obama said, you know, we're going to run for president, everything's beautiful, I got a lot of great ideas, but I want you to know something. And behind him on those large easels, he's got big posters of pictures of him in a skirt. I want you to just, this is how I relax. I want it out there in the open. You think he's dead in the water? You think he's dead in the water, huh?
I can't.
Yeah, okay.
He wouldn't be Obama if someone saw him dressed in drag. You know, the Al-Qaeda uniform, that was bad enough, you know. But
well, he didn't wear that. They just slapped that on him. Yeah. No, I hear you.
They just slapped that on him. But that was bad enough, you know.
Well, that's evil, man. You know. But if Obama came out there and you're there in a rally and there's all these people with you and you really love this guy, he says, "I just want you to know, because you know I'll never lie to you. This is a photograph of me in Cancun last year." And that's a bikini. So you'd leave, huh?
personally, my respect level would have dropped, and I would have left.
It would have dropped, huh? It would have dropped. All right, Dow, thank you for your call. I think the guy makes this point. What about the guts thing, you know?
Oh, man. I mean, think about this, man. All right, just for 5 seconds, all right?
Go ahead.
I mean, you know, there's guts, and then there's just dumb gut. You know, you come out and say, hey, here's a picture of me in Cancun, and I'm dressed in a bikini top or however the man does it, right?
Okay.
That man, I don't think he's serious about running for president because he's going to say, you know, I want to be president, but not really. I want to show you, and here I am in Cancun, and I'm, you know, I'm all oiled up, you know, and ready to rock and roll.
So, in other words, you're saying he's just cutting his own throat. He's committing suicide.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, why would he do that, man? Why would he why get ready for a campaign and then suddenly say, oh, and by the way, I think I don't really want to run for president. Here's a picture of me in a wig. I don't know.
No, you think about it, man.
I don't have to think that long about that. That doesn't make any sense to me. All right, we'll be right back with more of your phone calls here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 877-876-PHIL. Plus, a book claims that Michael Jackson believed... I don't know what this means. Michael Jackson believed he could heal Hitler. 877-876-PHIL. Now, getting back to the guy in the wig... You understand what I'm saying, right?
Phil Hendry.
Coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the birthers have an infomercial hitting the airwaves soon on a TV station near you. Oh, yeah, can't wait for that, man. Also next hour, not because I had this plan, but because I've got History Channel on, and I'm looking at another special on the Bermuda Triangle, and I got a whole thing about the Bermuda Triangle. Wait till you hear my theory. It ain't my theory. It was somebody else's theory. But I'll pretend like it's mine. No, it's not mine, and I won't pretend it's mine. But it ain't the spirit world, baby, and it's not another dimension. It ain't UFOs. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's Brian. Brian in Mesa, Arizona. Brian, what's going on tonight?
How you doing, man? How you doing, Phil?
Good, thank you.
I just want to start off by saying it's about the kids, man. I'm in Mesa, Arizona. Dude, Arizona has been ranked number 93rd on the education list. First off, okay? When we have people like this guy dressing up like whatever he's going to dress up as, it's a disgrace, dude. Big time. I mean, that's the last thing we need is... They're pushing politics, all right? They're pushing politics hardcore in schools nowadays. You got these teachers in New Jersey, talking about how they want, Obama and his whole equal workforce, making equal pay, and all this stuff. I mean, you have major stuff involving politics.
Dude, are you familiar with the story, man? I mean, you know what the story is?
That's what I'm getting on. You have a lot of attention towards kids, yeah. And this is a politician dressing up as a girl. So these kids are very attentive to this type of thing. So this is the last thing we need, man. We need to...
Well, here, first of all, I know of two instances. Yeah, I know of two instances where... I know of two instances where... parents have made and teachers have made a political issue
about
out of the education of children. In one instance, parents didn't want kids listening to Obama. In another instance, parents or teachers rather wanted kids singing praises to Obama. In both instances,
I don't care if they listen to Obama. That's fine. But
I'm agreeing with you. Only in one instance, the parents are jumping in and saying, "Oh God, we don't want our kid listening to Obama." In another instance, the teachers. I agree that that is wrong. I question how widespread it is, to be honest with you.
But I mean,
I've heard of two...
My point is that a lot of politics are getting involved in our youth, our young kids, man, first and second graders, and now we have them looking up towards politicians and towards a government and things like that.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
It's the way way they're approaching it, man. I mean, this whole thing about, you know...
No, the way they're approaching it is wrong, I agree. But you would agree that kids should look up to government and maybe even aspire to be in government. Isn't that a worthy profession?
Let's not praise it, though. Let's not praise it.
You know what, Brian? You know, I don't know what planet you live on, man. It ain't the one that I live on, okay? You know, you probably got a hard-on for everything. I don't see anything wrong with a kid loving his country and wanting to work in public service, all right, number one. Number two, what this cross-dressing mayor has to do with your world, I don't know. No kid is looking at this. They're not shoving this down some kid's throat. We're adults talking about it.
Well, that's my point is, kids are being, the politics are being shoved down kids' throats nowadays in school.
No, you haven't made that case. No, you haven't made that case at all. I said there's two cases. Wait, name a third.
When you were in first and second grade.
See you later. 877-876-PHIL. When this cat started in on a dude, and I knew there was something in his Wheaties, man. I wasn't quite sure. Phil Henry Show will be right back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.